or like trash bag adults that watch a lot of television with their best friend. Welcome to the Beer Feelings Podcast, where together we are indulging in life and craft beer. This show is all about demystifying the craft beer space in a fun and flirty way for those who are just beginning their beer journey or for people who already love their brews and are hungry to learn more. My name is Natalie Jones, and I am the beer drinking gal pal you never knew you had. And today I'm going to be your wine drinking gal pal. Now, I know there's a whole bunch of you out there that listen to the show who just prefer wine to beer, and that's totally fine. We're all entitled to our own opinions, and I do love a good wine in addition to beer. I'm just happy that you listen along, but today's show is dedicated to you. So this week, what I want to do, it's going to be a fun episode, a little bit different than what we've done in the past. I'm going to take different styles of wine and then use them to help you find a new style of beer to try. Should be pretty fun. So grab your Riesling or Pinot or whatever you like to drink and buckle up, because here we go. Now, before we launch into this week's episode, I wanted to hint at what is to come. We have been listening to all of your feedback on all of the Beer Feelings products, but mostly the salts and sugars. And I am so excited to give you guys a preview of what's in motion. So currently what my team is doing is reworking the packaging on the salts and sugars so that soon you're going to be able to just dip your pint glass straight into the container and get a beautiful rim instead of needing to pour a little bit of the spice out onto a plate. So we're still working out a few of the kinks. I like to tell you guys things before they happen to give you something to look forward to in the Beer Feelings land. So anyways, let's get to some wine-based beer recommendations. I should, before I give the first one, preface this by saying I really don't know a lot about wine, very little as a matter of fact, and that's going to become more and more apparent as we get through this episode. But let's start with Moscato, which, fun fact, this was actually the first alcoholic beverage that I learned to like out of all the things. So my 21-year-old self appreciated that it was a little sweet, wasn't too overwhelming, it was easy to drink, it was approachable, it was friendly. Kind of grew out of it. But those are all the things I loved about Moscato in the beginning. So if this is your wine of choice, I want you to give a cream ale a try. It is so, so, so easy to drink, especially for beginners. It does have that little kiss of sweet, so a little bit on the sweeter side, especially if you do find a cream ale that maybe has some extra vanilla added into it. Delicious. It really doesn't have any funky, like harsh aftertaste. Like it's not too grainy. It's not too hoppy, anything like that. Just nice and smooth. And now that I'm thinking about it, this was kind of one of the first beer styles I really fell in love with too. So all around, we kind of have like a little newbie love fest going on. So, okay. Our next wine is going to be another from the white wine universe, and it's going to be the Sauvignon Blanc. I didn't mean for this episode to be an evolution of my own kind of like flavor journey, but here we are. Sauvignon Blanc currently is my white wine go-to. Yep, that's how sentences end. I personally, what I like about it, I like how acidic it is. I like how bright it is. I really love to drink this wine with almost any dinner because it really wakes things up, especially if I didn't think about the recipe and I add like too much butter or too much cream cheese or too much of anything. So like tonight, for example, would have been awesome to have this wine. I cooked a super creamy like pasta and okay, maybe I should record these episodes before I cook dinner and then I'll figure out what I need to do at dinner. But anyways, the beer equal to the Sauvignon Blanc is able to accomplish similar tasks. So my swap for this wine is going to be the Berliner Weiss. It is a sour. So we're bringing in a little bit of that tartness, kind of that's how we're tying it in. That's how it's similar, but it really is more of a shy sour. It's not going to totally annihilate your palate. And that combined with really a lighter mouthfeel, so kind of a lighter liquid, I think it's going to keep you happy if this is your go-to wine. Okay, buckle up. My lack of knowledge of wines is about to show. The fact that I've just named two wines is amazing. And that's about to fall apart. So we're going to the red universe. And all I have for you, we're going to break reds into two buckets. We're going to talk about sweet reds and then like dry, moody, complex reds. Do these have names? I am certain they do. I'm certain they have a whole bunch of names, but that's what I have. I'm a beer guide. I'm not a wine guide. So we're just going to move on. So let's start with the dry, complex reds, the drink that most of my friends enjoy drinking. So to me, this wine feels so grown up. Like this is what I am going to order at like an important work dinner, or I would also have this, like, I don't know what you would call it, but like a girl's night, not really a party, like a grown-up sleepover. Can I describe it better than this? But like, if you were hanging out with like your go-to gal pal and you were like loafing about on the couch, eating a bunch of carbs, binge watching whatever show you're hooked on, and there's probably some cheese, but like you're grown-ups. It's not like a little kid's slumber party. That's that kind of grown-up. So there we go. We have a really classy example and kind of a trash bag example. But either way, in both, you are in fact a grown-up. So for this swap, I'm going to recommend a barley wine. Now, we really haven't talked a lot about barley wines on the show. I think they're so interesting. And so I'll add that to the list of things to do. But when you sip on one, and you absolutely should sip on one because they are hella boozy, you're gonna get like, there's so much to dive into. So this style of beer typically aged. So you're going to get some of the flavors from the grains, some of the flavors from the yeast, and then some like magical little mystery flavors from the vessel that it was aged in. So I really think that barley wines have a beautiful like raisin, toffee, perfectly done toast kind of quality to them. But again, the reason why I matched this to the complex, like moody red is a barley wine feels like it's meant for grownups. Like it's not going to be a foofy sour or anything. So there you go. Serious adults or like trash bag adults that watch a lot of television with their best friend. I love you both. Both buckets. God, we got to move on. Got to move on. Now we're going to wrap things up with my final bucket of wine, which I'm just calling it sweet reds. I'm really thinking about this bucket like dessert wines. So when I think of this bucket, I'm thinking like syrupy. We're sipping and we're savoring. They come in like a very small cup. By no means are we chugging these drinks. So if this is your go-to, which I don't know that I've ever met anybody out there that this is your go-to, but I'm sure you're out there. And this was, I needed another red wine to talk about. So here we are. So if this is you, number one, send me a note so I can get to know you. And number two, the beer that I want you to try is the Imperial Stout, which I just personally, I think of this kind of as like the rich, dark chocolate lava cake of beer. I think that both drinks really push the limit of almost indulging too much. Now they are very similar in the sense that they have kind of a higher viscosity. They're a little thicker. They're going to sit on your tongue a little bit longer. And I think an Imperial Stout would be a killer replacement for a dessert wine, especially if you have one like with chocolate or cherry, like bring some of that like berry sweetness out anyways. But I should point out there are stouts and there are Imperial Stouts. Specifically, I went for an Imperial Stout on this swap. And just a quick recap, Imperial just means boozy. It just basically means like strong beer. But the reason why I went with an Imperial is because I really wanted this beer to be sipped on and to be unwrapped bit by bit and kind of giving the consumer a chance to get to know the flavors more and more as the beer opens up and warms up. But that's it. I'm going to have to wrap up this episode because I drink a lot of wine, but I don't think I could tell you more about it. So we're going to wrap this up, but these were so fun and I'm so curious to hear what you guys think. So choose your go-to wine, choose one of the swaps I talked about today. Let me know if you agree or not so much. And I'm almost thinking that maybe next week, we'll do another episode kind of like this, but focus maybe on like mixed drinks instead of wine. So Anyways, for today, I hope that no matter what you guys choose to do, that you are doing it with a great beer or maybe a great wine in hand and even better people by your side. Catch you next week. Cheers.